So we are looking at the new year. And some of you on the call just go, oh, no, here we go again. Right? Now, every December, you know, from Mary Jo, we always talk about planning for the new year. And the reason I do that is because I've been doing it my entire life. And I think it's a crucial behavioral pattern to introduce into your life. If you haven't done it before or you've given up on it, then you've given up on life. So start off with a fresh breath and a new way of looking at life and say, you know what? How many of us want to create something greater next year? I do. Every year of my life, I've always looked at how can I be better? How can I do greater things next year? How can I create better results for myself next year? And it never mattered what results I created this year. It was only about doing it better. Because our life, everything we do in life should be an aspiration to be better, right? I mean, I just look at life and I go, why are we here? We're here to be better. We're here to do things better. We're here to affect greater changes in people's lives. We're here to touch lives in a better way. And it all starts with us. How are we making a commitment to ourselves to be better people, to do the best we can, to be the best leaders we can, to be the best people we can, to just touch more lives? You know, now we look at M5M, our goals should be just really resounding around, wow, every time I pour into myself to be a better person or create better results, I'm helping to nourish literally hundreds more children. I look back at even the month of November, and we worked really hard. I mean, Lydia and I kind of laid the foundation of what we wanted to create with the skincare, you know, 3 months earlier, because we knew it was coming out in Frisco, so we worked our heads off to get as many possible people in our organization at that event in Frisco on the 8th and 9th of November, and we did training calls and money calls, and we got everybody on those calls, the run-up to Frisco, all the calls that Bo Short was doing, the flight team were doing. We just did everything in our power to get as many people involved and active and reactivated, and it played out brilliantly. I mean, our month of November was our biggest. I've never seen that kind of growth ever in the history of my 15 years with Manatech as we did in the month of November in 1 month. So it's about planning and putting yourself in a position, how can I make this the best possible, how can I create the best possible results in my life? And that's what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. And I just pray and hope and pray with every one of you that you take this on and really do the work that I suggest. Because it really, and is that I'm not any, you know, I don't have the key on the marketplace in this arena. All of you have great upline leaders somewhere out there that maybe will help you as well with goal setting and setting the stage for the new year. But hopefully some of the information I give you can enlighten you as well. So, but whatever you do, choose to do something different. Choose to be different, do different, and watch the results that you'll create. So. First of all, let's talk about just getting started. A lot of people don't even want to get started about talking about the new year. They don't want to set goals. They don't want to, you know, so we've got renegades out there, right? I call you guys renegades. If everybody tells you to zig, you want to zag. If everybody this way, you want to that. And, you know, you can put the stake in the ground as you on your tombstone and can say, I was a renegade. I did everything opposite to what everybody else did. Well, great. And how did that work for you? That's just my question. And how is it working for you? Because, you know, there are a lot of things that just are known factors. But let's talk about just basically looking at setting goals or setting directions for your life. A lot of people go, they have never worked for me. And I look at it, I say, you know, there are plenty of reasons why you're saying that. And maybe goal setting hasn't worked for you, but maybe you haven't worked for your goals. And that's the difference. It's really who's really not working. And if you start evaluating the only factor that matters, which is you, your behavior, then you can start evaluating and say, I don't think the goal didn't work. I think maybe I could have done things differently. And how many of us could raise our hands right now and say, I could have done things differently every year that we've been involved in Manatech or every year of our life? If I can look back at 2013 and say, are there things I could have done differently to create better results? There's no question. I could have a laundry list of those things. That's all we're looking at. It's not about taking a hammer out and beating up on ourselves. It's about, hey, how do I create better results in 2014? So it's not the goals that don't work for you. It's you that don't work for the goals, maybe. Take a peek at that. You feel like you failed when you've not met them in the past, so why go through the depression? Ah, because we're not going to make it about depression. We're going to make it more about a process than a depression. Does that make sense? Set your goals this year based on you. You always want goals because you want a direction of where you're going. You know, you don't want to be that meandering generality. You don't want to be out there with a sailboat with no rudder in the water that just meanders on the ocean. You really want to, you know, you can't get someplace if you don't have a vision of what it is that you're aiming towards. And trust me, I even had a presidential in my downline that told me one time he refused to do goal setting. You know, he just wouldn't do it because it never worked for him. Well, he doesn't even qualify as an executive today. I mean, he almost got there last month because of our skincare stuff. But the idea was that why are we not setting goals? Why do we not? I mean, you don't know where you're going. You're not gonna accomplish it. So have a directional for yourself, and don't look at it as not reaching it as being a set of depression. Set up the processes in place that no matter how far you do get, you can be excited about the processes that you've put in place that have helped change your life, that's going to drive you further and further and further in your life beyond the date you set that goal. Some people say, well, it's just a lot of extra work to do all this end-of-year stuff and evaluate. And I go, a lot of extra work? It's kind of like, okay, let's build a house. I'm going to start with the first floor. Forget about the foundation. Let's just, you know, that's just a lot of extra work. Well, yeah. It's a lot of extra work that without it, nothing else is going to work. So maybe there is a little bit of work and there is a little bit of pain that goes through some of this process, but it's worth every bit of it because it's the foundation upon which 2014, you'll either make it or break it in 2014. And we don't want to stumble anymore, people. I feel such a unity among Manitekkers today. You know, we're all in this together. It's like when I go to conventions, when I was in Frisco, I looked around the room and, you know, I have so much love for each and every one of you guys. But there's a newness around it starting from the event in Branson. It was like, do we get it that we're all unified with one mission? We're all unified. We're all part of this. And we're only going to be as good as our weakest link. So let's lift up each other and drive this as best we can. A little extra work at the end of the year so that we can really hit some of those targets that Sam has set for us as well in terms of making a difference in these children's lives is really important. And then Andy Andrews. I love this because Andy, for those of you at Frisco, you heard Andy say, he says something like goals suck or something like that. I mean, it was kind of an offshoot of thing. And I don't want to quote him on that because I'm not sure that's a word. It doesn't sound like that's exactly what he would have said. But he kind of made a statement that he didn't believe in goals. And he said, don't lie to yourself. And so in remembering that whole conversation around Andy, the reason he didn't like goals per se was the fact that he said people love to lie to themselves. I mean, they just get caught up in lying to themselves, and that just caused a little quiver in his heart, because he said, you know, and I started researching, and I'm going to tell all of you, if you'd like to hear a little 16-minute piece by Andy Andrews on the art of goal setting, you can just type in Google search on Andy Andrews and the art of goal setting, and you can hear what he had to say, but I'm going to give you a little recap of that quickly here today. He talked about honesty as a hallmark of a person's character. So don't fib, don't lie, don't tell stories. He decided very early on in his life not to lie to himself. And a lot of people, because of that, you know, their year-end resolutions are they're not going to make any resolutions because they just want to not stop lying to themselves. And he says that's a good thing, not to lie to yourself. But goal setting isn't lying to yourself. It just kind of puts out there what directional. It gives you a location you want to get to. But he talks about it from a perspective, instead of necessarily, you know, always committing, oh, I got to commit to pie in the sky things, he says what you want to commit to is you want to commit to the process. You want to commit, what are you going to do, determine what you're going to do for a day or for a week. In other words, let's talk about a weight loss program. if somebody wanted to lose 50 pounds, because that's a huge New Year's resolution, is it not? We all, in fact, I'm falling into that category now because I've put on some extra weight and I'm going, oh my gosh, by the time I go to Hawaii, I better get skinny so I can wear a swimming suit. So, and not skinny, just back to my normal size. So anyway, so I'm kind of committed in that arena as well. So I relate to this. But the idea that Andy says, he says, don't make a big pie in the sky. I'm going to lose 100 pounds by, you know, March 1st. He said, and the statistic out there is 87% of people's New Year's resolutions are left behind by January 31st. So we know, like, working out at clubs, that's why club memberships skyrocket in January, and by March 1st, they're all canceled. People aren't showing up anymore. But the idea here is that what can I do if I wanted to lose weight, for instance? What can I do every day or every week? What is the process I can put in place that'll make a difference? I can choose to stop eating breads or carbohydrates, right? Stay away from carbs. I can start working out, you know, again, like do my five-day routine over at LA Fitness. I can start, you know, putting nothing in my between my lips after 8 o'clock at night. That's a great thing. I mean, they're just certain. I know the routine. I have no problem on that. Just don't make me do it before Christmas because there's so much great chocolate. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, but how can we put in a process? So what? This is what Andy's talking about. He says, do it week by week. If you fail in 1 week, you can always pick yourself back up and go, oh, my gosh, I didn't. Okay, so let's get back on track, and you get back in the process. Do things in small bites and build on those successes. Small successes build confidence and they build self-esteem. And you want to check in on yourself every day. Check in on yourself every day to make sure you're on course so you can correct the course before it gets way out of whack. So what is it that, my question to you is, get a piece of paper out and figure this out for yourself. We all know it, but I want you to figure it out. I'm not even going to say it to you. What is it that it takes to create great results in Manatech? What is it that it takes? The first thing you can start with is what? Just how many new contacts do you make on a daily basis? How many are you committed to making? And just set that as, you know, I'm going to start doing that. And then how many presentations are you going to do on a weekly basis? With a skincare presentation, it takes less than 20 minutes if you wanted to do a fancy one. For some of us, we have a 17-second closing. That's what I've given you in the outlines in the past. 17-second start, you know, intro to close. Build rapport to close, 17 seconds. So, I mean, so it doesn't – so how many presentations are you doing on a weekly basis? Those are the kind of things you want to build in, and that'll make all the difference in the world. So that's what Andy Andrews is talking about. He says fall in love with the process, fall in love with committing to the process. The process is what creates the results, and the success from the process can be, you know, you can appreciate that on a daily or weekly basis versus a goal which you can only celebrate by the time you hit the end of it, right? So fall in love with the process. And he said make the most of your moments too. He talked about the book 20,000 Days and Counting. It's a crash course for mastering your life right now. Okay, it's a book by Robert Smith. And he would say, if this were your last 5 hours you were going to spend on Earth, is this how you are going to go out? What are you doing? Every time he talks about his life, and he said, every time I leave my boys, he has two boys, every time he interacts with people when he goes out into the shopping malls or buying things, he always thinks to himself, he goes, what if I never see them again? So he wants to make the most of every moment he has when he interacts with people. Live your life like this, to be the greatest dad, to be the greatest spouse, to be the greatest friend, to be the greatest leader, to be the greatest whatever you want to fill in that blank. Why can't we live this way? And he said, we can, because every one of us, even though we can't possibly physically give everything we have every moment of every day, we can give 110% for 5 to 10 seconds over and over again throughout a day, right? So if I'm with my two kids and I'm about to depart from my two kids, I can give 110% of myself for those moments, right? So think about it. It's just great. It was a great thing. So again, that's Andy Andrews' take on it. So he's not saying don't set goals per se. He's saying set goals around the process about what am I going to do differently on a daily or a weekly basis. And that's what's going to create the results in my life. And we know statistics around written goals. Everybody knows that every good self-development book, every success book out there talks about having written goals. And that's why it's important. So we need to really focus on what we want to create and then focus on what is the process that's going to get us to that point. And we want to definitely think about correcting our vision. You know, what's our thinking around our vision? Because people hide from reality. They hide from where they're going. They don't see themselves playing a bigger role in life. I think every one of you today, just the fact that you're involved in Manatech means you're here to help us save kids, right? Isn't that what, I mean, this is our mission. So we all have this in our vision, and it's just a matter of what is it going to be in 2014 for you? I mean, what's the volume you're going to have going through your organization, which will match up to how many children? Just take your volume, because every bit of volume counts towards saving kids today, right? Every volume. Everybody know that? It's no longer just auto orders. It's any order. It covers all our products. I mean, Manatech's all in on this now. So we have this. So if my volume is 5,000 a month, I'm saving how many? You divide that by 100, and you get 50 kids, right? 50 kids. So I'm responsible for 50 children at 5. So I'm responsible for 60 kids at 6,000. At national director, I'm at 60 kids. So what is it that I want to do? I just look at so volume is tied directly to how many children your organization is impacting, and you're the leader of that organization. So, you know, so that in of itself has a vision, but we have other visions as well, our highest aspirations and deepest values and our truest desires. So what are our values? Values are relational, so we need to understand that. We need to discover what our truest values are, right? That's something we need to drive ourselves to figure out. One of the ways people find their passion, I put down here at task one, is call your journey aimless pursuit of reality. Start with no agenda, but just start writing in a stream of consciousness about how I want life to be. What would be ideal? What holds us back from this exercise? And I'm going to suggest to you what holds us back is our own reality we've already created. Somehow we're stuck in it. And I'm saying, don't be stuck in it. No one says you have to be tied to your reality today. You create. You're a creator. You inherently create. So let go. Don't let the trappings of where you are today stop you from going through this exercise. How I want life to be, what would be ideal? The looking without the need for an answer helps to see what there is to see, and sometimes for some people that means they find God, and that's an awesome experience, number one in my book. A more traditional, so that's one way of looking at the task, at the end of that aimless pursuit of reality, and just go, I just let it go, and just start, you know, just let your mind be free, get rid of the trappings, and just flow with it. Vision must be consistent with values. Okay, so core into our vision, our values have to support that. And so many people that have a problem with achieving the vision they have for their life, it's because their core values don't match up with the vision that they put out there. It's why I always like to look at people's goals, because sometimes when they give me their goal sheet, I go, well, you know what? Why does having 3 homes matter to you? And people look at me and go, well, it just sounded like a cool thing, Mary Jo. I read about some guy. And I go, well, that's that person's value system, not yours. Make sure it's like if somebody told me, you know, Mary Jo, but why don't you have a goal to have a house in Maui? You can afford to do that. And I go, because it's totally unimportant to me. I mean, these are the key things that you need to, when you go through struggles like that, like my some of you have heard my story about my Lexus car. When my husband, my poor husband, he's married to me for 15 years, and he found that he was married to a wife that wanted for nothing. And it's not because I had everything. It's only because material things don't matter. I was brought up in a Midwestern family where material things just didn't matter. And they still don't matter to me. So I came home one day and I told my husband, I said, oh, honey, I saw this really cute car. Oh, that was the biggest mistake I could have made in my life. So I told him about my cute car. And, of course, the next thing he had me at a Lexus dealership. He had describing the car. There it was. It was this, you know, that little SC3 320 or so, whatever it's called, the one where the roof goes into the trunk, the little sports car. I mean, this thing was a $60,000-$70,000 car. I go, looked at him, I go, I can't do that. I go, no, you have to. My husband, oh, you look at the income you have, and blah, blah, blah. And he went on and on and on. You know, it was a cute car. Then he wanted me to get these super wheels on it that boys like. Well, I could care less as a girl. I could care less about the stupid wheel. But he wanted me to have those wheels. And I was like, Hugh, I don't even care about the car. I mean, it's a cute car. But, well, I ended up with a cute car with zippy wheels. Well, first of all, I didn't even take it out of my garage for the first month I had it because I was embarrassed because it didn't reflect my value system. Well, then I started driving it, of course, and I drove it for about a year, and I had a little bit of fun with it. You know, it was still a cute car. I mean, there's no question it's a cute car. It just belongs on a magazine cover, not in my garage, right? And then I took it in one day, and they told me, oh, the reason that it's not driving as well as it had been is because the wheel was bent. He says, these are high-performance wheels, so, you know, you need to get new wheels. I said, oh, well, how much is that going to cost me? And they said, $5,000. $5,000. That wasn't for four wheels. I looked at this guy, and I said, $5,000? And this is where it came out. I go, you know what? God's got a better place for me to spend $5,000 than on a stupid wheel. And that was it. That was the end of that car. I mean, that was over. But I give you that example just to show you, be true to your values. And I'm not, if there's somebody on this call today that loves Lexus cars and would spend $5,000 on wheels, I am not in judgment over that. There's not a judgment in my body over that. It's just not who I am. Does that make sense? We're all different. It's when we take those differences and we start judging other people by them that we get in trouble. And that's where we shouldn't be. But the idea is that it's not mine. But I want you to know your values. I want you to be one on with your values. So I gave you, first of all, values aren't popular things to talk about in our society today. So I gave you a reference place that you can look at. It's listed under the vision part on page 2 of the outline. You can just go there, and there's a massive list. I mean, literally hundreds of values that are listed there. And your goal for today, if you choose to take it, there's 418 values listed on this guy's list. And I want you to go through all of them, and I want you to go through it the first time and circle everyone that's really powerful for you, not ones that just cause you to nudge a little bit, but really they're ones that really hit a home run ball with you. And then I want you to go back, and I want you to isolate down to 10. That's a really difficult, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to really support you in getting a better identity of who you are. And you got to carry yourself true to you, not true to Mary Jo, or try to be somebody else. Be you. Be you. It's about who you are, because if you don't discover that, you've got to start off with your core values, because if your core values, if you build a vision that's inconsistent with your core values, it'll never work for you, because you'll be out there being driven by something that doesn't even drive you. And you may, some people do this their entire lives, and that's what I call a very sad life, that we're driven by an inappropriate vision that's not consistent with our values. So get that clear. I also give you questions to answer to help you figure out what your core values are. And then the draft the to-be list. You guys are all familiar with the be, do, have triangle, right? I mean, there's so many people in our world that work on what? They work on having things. They fight their whole life to have. And the reality is that it's not do and have. That's the, you know, many of us were brought up with Depression-era parents, and they go, work really hard, blah, 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 get a good job, blah, blah, blah. And it was always about do, and you'll have. Well, sorry, that's not how life works. Everything starts with the top of the triangle, which is called the be, the beingness. We have to be before we do, before we have. Because people who just do and have, they lose. It's do, have not. Do, have not. In other words, whatever they do creates something they have, but they have it temporarily because the beingness never came into the picture. So you want to first work on who you are. And part of that work process, I believe, needs to look at what leadership characteristics are we missing in our life? What do we need to work on? Because for 2014, I want all of you to get very committed, like I do every year. I get very convicted about how am I shifting Mary Jo? What shift am I going to see in Mary Jo this year in terms of values and core values and growth in my values, right? And a lot of people who've known me for years have seen a lot of shifts in Mary Jo over the years. But every year I never stop in that area because I'm either green or growing or ripe and rotting, and I choose the green and growing. Your choice for you. But green and growing or ripe and rotting, because there's no such thing as stability in this world. It's either one or the other. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. So my choice is green and growing. So it's like, how do I grow in this area? And so I even went through this leadership list, and I'll go through it again this week because I'm going to do all this work because we're going to all report in next week. I'm going to do all this work on leadership characteristics, which are the ones, and I keep my records from last year so I can see what I've developed and where I still need, and maybe some of the needs are the same because I didn't do enough work on those areas. And that just highlights to me again where I've dropped the ball, what I need to do different. But take a look. I gave you the list of leadership characteristics. They're not 418 like there are values on that other list, but there are plenty of them here that you can just run through them and see what are the most important ones that you need to work on this year to be the best leader you can be. And then take time to draft your purpose and vision statement. A mission statement work takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. You may not have it done by next Monday, but you may be putting a big dent in it. And I really want to talk about some of your progress, so I'm just going to highlight this to put an exclamation mark. Find some quiet time, whether you have to get up an hour early or go to bed an hour later, to make this happen for you, because this is some of the most incredible work and important work you're going to do in the next 12 months, what you do in the next 3 weeks, right? Structural tension, I bring this up because one of my favorite books out there by Robert Fritz is something called Life is Art, and it was so impactful on me, I want to make sure everybody gets it clear because it's a hugely important concept. And structural tension is defined as what? It's the best and most powerful structure there is in creative process, developing the ability to envision the result and observe the present situation in relationship to that result. Now, what it is he talks about tension, and I want all of you to visualize taking a rubber band and putting an end of it around each of your thumbs and then stretching your two hands apart. Now, what have you created there with that rubber band? You've created a tremendous amount of tension, right? And what happens when you create tension is there has to be resolution. Tension must be resolved. It's the law of physics. So either my right thumb has to go closer to my left thumb or my left thumb has to get closer to my right thumb. If you hold true to your course about what? About what your vision is, what your goal is, then where your reality today has to move closer to that goal. Are you following me? But in order for this to happen, here's the major drawback, that this is the reason why it doesn't happen in people's lives, is because people are lying to themselves about their current reality. So you've got to be able to evaluate your current situation. So you got to have a sense, both Tony Jerry and Leo Widener wrote the book, The Slight Edge, which is a great, great book out there. In fact, I referenced it in here in the part above. If you have The Slight Edge by Leo Widener, you can draft and tape your life creed. Or if you have Strategic Acceleration by Tony Jerry, then I want you to all do exercise 5 and review then the entire outline from December 5th, 2011 on Manatrain. But both these guys are gurus around achieving results in your life. And both of them agree that we must have a realistic sense of reality first. Otherwise, reaching our goals will never happen because we are lying to ourselves about our reality. And it's a hard thing. And Jerry refers to it as clarity. And he says, a lack of results in two significant areas will take place if you don't have clarity. You're going to come up with, there's not enough time to do what I need to do. The results I'm experiencing are less than I want to or expect. So these are the basic felt needs that will just rob you of life. They become excuses of your life unless you have clarity. So we need to have clarity. We need to be clear on, first of all, where are we? And why do we run from this is because maybe we don't like it. our ability to live in reality is essential. It takes training. It's because we don't like pain, we don't like conflict, so we look at our reality and we flee from it. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you can think of things January 1st last year that were true about your life, but you didn't want to face them because they were painful? Now let me ask you a question today, a year later. Are they still true about your life? Right. So instead of facing them and grappling with it, which is painful, we would rather carry that rock in our knapsack the rest of our life, which is only going to slow you down and hold you back from creating the greatness that each and every one of you have inside of you to create. So how do we come to resolution with some of these things? One of the things I love to tell people to do is write down the three most important things that are unresolved in your life. And all of them are going to have to do with relationships for the most part, because that's what runs our life, is relationships. And then over the next 24 hours or by next Monday on our call, come to resolution on all three of them. And you go, well, I can't marry Joe. It's out of my control. They did me wrong and da-da-da-da. And I said, so what if they did you wrong? Why can't you forgive them? And they go, what would I forgive them for? And I said, it's not about what you would forgive them for. You're going to ask them for forgiveness because you've avoided them for years over something as petty as this. Well, it's not petty. It isn't. It's helped kept the two of you from having a relationship. So maybe start resolving that. Some of you can't even fathom resolution. There was one story about a woman that her husband was trying to kill her. She divorced him and she took the kids because he was so miserable. He was a rotten guy and he was involved in drugs and all sorts of stuff. And she found out he was trying to kill her. And she was laughing at us. How could she could resolve that? Well, because she wasn't resolving it, what was she living every day of her life in? Total unmitigated fear. It was robbing her of her entire existence. And when she finally got to see the price she was paying, she wrote a letter to him, forgiving him. And asking for forgiveness, even though she didn't feel she was in any position to have to do that. So how did she send it without him finding out? Well, we figured out a technique to do that. Sent it out to a friend in California, who sent it up to somebody in Oregon, and then that person mailed it. So he would never be able to trace it back to her. But what a difference. A year later, she was a totally new person because she was able to resolve it. But we need to work on that. We need to work on resolution, because if we don't understand our reality, if we're not working on our own reality to help resolve it, we're in trouble. We're stuck. We only stick ourselves. No one else sticks us. We stick ourselves. So don't go victim to the world. I'm so tired of hearing people tell me, well, it's because my mom was like that, or my dad was like that, or my brother was like that, or my husband's like this, or it's because of this and this, and it's because, hey, yeah, yeah. The minute you go victim to somebody else, you're out of control. Right, because they're in control. You've given them all your control. Why are you giving your control away of your life? Makes no sense. I call it kind of a state of craziness. But if you don't ever want to create anything, it sure gives you a big, fat excuse. If that's what you were looking for, if that's what life is to you, is about a big fat excuse, you've found one. So you land on it, and you know what? If it makes you feel better in the moment, but it really screws up your entire life, what's that? What's that trade-off? So again, let's get real. Let's get in reality. We need to find that reality, because the only way we're going to create that structural tension between where we want to go and where we are today is being real with ourselves. And that's painful in many instances, but you know what? It's so rewarding. So we can. Without that, you can't grow from your actions, can't achieve the goals you set, you don't have a starting point, everything collapses underneath it. It's the same thing, Tony Jerry, clarity. We don't have clarity. So by internalizing structural tension, the vision and the current reality, structural tension becomes a more powerful force in your life, because now it's not just you that's working to move forward to your goals, but you have this structural tension that's pulling you towards your goal. You follow me? It's a nature of force. In fact, some people, we talk about the law of vibration. I don't know how many are familiar with the law of vibration, but it's very similar, tied in conjunction with the law of attraction. That when you're in a positive framework, you vibrate toward what you wish to achieve. If you have any slight negativity or worry or any insecurity or slightest degree, doubting it, or negative energy, that will inhibit you from accomplishing your task. unless you stop them immediately and focus back on positive thoughts. The law of vibration starts with everything in life moves or vibrates. Everything. Everything in life moves or vibrates. We're all energy fields, and if you come from a positive, in a good state of vibration, you're going to create goodness around you. It's very much the law of attraction, right? You see how they're intertwined? And if you want to control results you get, you must control what you vibrate to. This means controlling your thoughts, because you only vibrate what to the thoughts that you have. If you don't get what you want in your life, this is because you're ignorant of what you want, or you're ignorant of the law of vibration. So you're not aware of what you vibrate is what's helping you create whatever you do in life. So those are very important things. Look up the law of vibration if you're not familiar with it. But it's important. It's an understanding. And I'm not getting new agey on everybody. It's all about, all of this, it comes right from Scripture as well. Our thoughts, right? As a man thinketh, so is he. There's the language around that. So when we have negative thoughts, we're what? We send out vibrations of negativity. It'll stop us dead in our tracks. So we need to come from positive states of being, and what's robbing you of your positive state of being is something in your reality today that you have unresolved. So get it resolved so you can move forward. And then the last thing we have in this assignment, so there's a sheet in there, your goal and current reality actions to be taken in proper order. And for the first actions you need to take is you need to get clear before you even draw your draft of how you're going to get to your goal. You need to get clear on your current reality. So interface with that first and foremost before you go forward. So I attached all these things. I also put in here 7 steps that can change your life. Work through that exercise. It's attached to the outline. It's an excellent exercise. It will help you grow and learn as well. Work through that one. The other act review that I want you to do, and notice nothing I'm asking you to do is setting goals today. This is just laying the groundwork to getting there. Groundwork is critical to making the next step. Every year, the last thing I had on my outline, every year that I've been involved in Manatech, every single year without exception. And I started this on a legal pad way back in my first year. I'll never forget it. My first year in Manatech, my upline kept telling me, oh, Mary Jo, you'll be presidential 1 year. You got everything it takes to get there, da-da-da-da-da. And about 5 months into the year, she was yelling at me for helping everybody. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you need to focus on your own business. Quit helping everybody else. That's just going to stop you dead in the water, blah, blah, blah. And I kept going, whoa. And the intriguing part of it was is she was telling me not to be true to my values, right? I mean, I understand the fact that I shouldn't be going out and traveling all over the country to work with everybody else's organizations. And I wasn't doing that in my first year. But the idea was that I needed to focus on supporting myself. And if I could help other people at the same time, that's great. So that's because my number one core value, which I found out 2 years later when doing a value exercise that was intense with a very, very highly thought of professional trainer. And he had me go through this exercise, which I then taught. But the exercise showed me that my number one core value was contribution. So how was I was going to give up on my core value? Well, I wasn't going to do that. And my first year in Manatech, I got done with my first year, and I was making $4,000 a month, which for a lot of people, that would have been a huge success. For somebody who is a lawyer who is making $20,000 a month prior to getting involved in Manatech, that wasn't what I would call a huge success, right? It was a huge bloody failure because I was replacing my income. But it wasn't, again, a lot of you know my story, my dad's results and why I got involved. It wasn't about making money in the first place. It was about helping others, and it was about contribution, right? That's what, and because the Lord gave me this direction through my dad's results. So anyway, but what I did at the end of the first year is I sat down and I said, okay, so what activities did I do in 2000, this was back in 1998 or 1999, what activities did I do? So I made a list of all my activities. I mean, not day-to-day, but what were my normal activities? Doing meetings, doing trainings, whatever they look like. I would outline what I was doing, all the activities I was doing. And then I went over to I looked at the next year. I said, if I'm going to grow and I'm going to be better in 2014, what do I need to do differently? How do I need to do these things differently? And that's what I did every year. And every year, my business grew. Every year. It just kept growing and growing and growing because I did this analysis every year. And that's why I think it's so important for all of you to say, because there's certain things that we get caught up in. It's the busy cycle. Does that make sense to some of you? We stay busy, but we don't create any results. So we have to look at our activities in 2013. What are the activities that kept us really busy, but really, when you analyze it, did they create results? So what do I need to do differently? And that might be something as little here, because if I can tweak everybody, this is what I tell my people all the time. That's why I say get some coaching, because if I can just tweak how you present or how you close, if I can just take that piece of your puzzle or how you break the ice with people, if I can just tweak that and you can be better at that, any one of those most critical, and those are skills, people. Those don't happen naturally for people. They're skills. That means they can be developed. That means somebody can support you being better. If I can just tweak some of those skills that you may think you have now but really need to be fine-tuned, you can create 10 times the results in 2014. But you've got to be willing to say, let me tweak those. How can I be better? I want to be better at closing. I want to be. You can't keep saying, "Well, I'm shy." You're not shy. You know, that's one of those big frauds we commit on ourselves. To go, "Oh, look at, she's so shy." Well, because 20 people told her she was shy since she was 3 or 4 years old. So you know what? She doesn't talk very much. But it's all choice. I work with a person that was shy. I did some work one-on-one with her, and it took her about a month, and she just laughed and laughed. She goes, and she was like in her 30s. She said, all these years I thought I was shy, Mary Joan. You are the one that made me realize it was just something I was buying into. Really. It's a choice. So many things in our life are choices, but we accept them as reality because somebody told us that. So what's that for you? Maybe that's some of the things you need to write on this page as well. But let's work on that. Activities for 2013, evaluate all the things you're doing, not doing. Don't make excuses why or why not. Just make a commitment. How are you going to change them? What are you going to do differently? Where are you going to get the support to be better? What kind of books are you going to be reading? What kind of coaching are you going to get? What are you going to be looking at? What can create better results? Because the results you created in 2013 might be okay, but are they terrific? And if they're terrific, let's make 2014 terrific with 2 exclamation points. How's that? Everybody all in? Okay, so you guys, I'm done for today. I went through everything I wanted to go through. Oh, did I finish the last pages? Yeah. And I say, I just want you to, can we commit? It's really up to you guys. Can we commit to getting this work done in the next week or at least making a big dent in it? Because some of you may not come up with a mission statement or a real purpose in life and all these kind of things, the why and all. But can you come up with what? Reviewing your activities, looking at leadership characteristics, circling the ones that are most important to you, you know, making sure you're committed to getting your goals done, even though they don't have, I didn't ask you to write goals. That's not part of our assignment for next week. But working through the 7 steps that can change your life, characteristics of a good leader, doing your value analysis, and then getting your current reality down black and white. Okay? Good. All right, everybody. Let's have a great week. I know I just layered a tier of work on you, but it is work that needs to get done. The best time to do it is the next 7 days, because I know if you procrastinate, I did this last year with a lot of you, and you still haven't gotten it done from last year. So when are we going to put the stake in the ground and create a greater tomorrow? There are millions of children dependent on this happening. Because we as a company can change this world. We're perfectly positioned. But let's be the best we can be, and that's the place we need to start. Because then we'll create the greatest results. And we want the best results. I really, my dream is to watch Manatech, you know, get close to $1 billion in sales by the end of next year. I think our 20-year anniversary deserves that from us. And it's going to take each and every one of us, you know, doubling and tripling our volume. And so what is that going to look like for each and every one of you? How is that going to happen? How are you going to create it? Let's put that on the fire and say, let's make it happen. Okay. All right, everybody.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
This is Fred.
Hey, Fred. How are you?
Doing good. I've been out of the loop a little bit. I've been down to Mexico on our vacation with my relatives and everything. So anyhow, my question is that 17-second prospecting program, do you have that written down in a script form available for us to get offline somewhere?
Do you want it relating to skincare specifically?
Yeah.
I wrote one for, well, it's in one of my Monday outlines as well. I trained it, but I wrote it up for skincare specifically. So how about if I send that out?
Yes. Oh, that'd be great.
I'll send that out. I'll send it out with how to get the ornament on your tree. How's that? All the ways to get that ornament on your tree, basically almost for free, if not making a lot of money as well as doing it, right? Yeah. Okay. I'll send those two things out. Great, Fred. And it really based on Al Schreider. His languaging is absolutely terrific. Anyone else? Welcome back, by the way. All right, everybody else set? Good. We covered a lot of good stuff today. Let's get to work. I know some of you are going, oh, my gosh, just what I need, a load of work from Mary Jo. I listen to her calls just to enjoy, not necessarily to get to work. This is the time of year you want to work as hard as you can, because if you lay the proper foundation, your 2014 will be awesome. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. Get out there, get out of the snow and the ice, and enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.